What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Man, you see him on the screen there, a good friend of mine, a brother, Howard Bison, head coach, went to the NCAA tournament this year, my man Kenny Blakeney, KB. Back on the airwaves. How you doing, my brother?
What's up, boss man? It's great to be back on the show and great to see you, man. How you doing?
I can't complain, man. It's heading into April here, playoff push, and may have some fun coming up for me with my main job before I turn into the baseball man, the baseball boss man with the Braves.
I know you're excited about how those Hawks are playing, though, leading into the playoffs, which is awesome.
Yes, indeed. About time, man. It's about time. Hey, look, at least your whistles will be good next year.
Quinn Snyder's got him rolling down, man. I love seeing that. And the ownership group down there with my man, you know, Jesse Itzler, Grant Hill and the crew. And just wonderful to see the success that you guys are having. My man Tony Lang's on staff down there. Big Duke influence, man, which is awesome.
Yeah, me and Tony like this, man. We like these. You know, Tony, the things we say to each other, I can't say on the air. It's like...
Absolutely. I get it. I understand it.
He's he's a good dude. Too.
Absolutely.
A wealth of knowledge from Coach Brady, man. So, yeah, man, the Duke of Foot on the Hawks, man, is very apparent around here, man. So, it's beautiful, man. Let me ask you, man, for you, brother, you know, how is this year for you, man? And getting to bring back Nate to be on staff with you, man. Just talk about this year's journey for you, man.
Yeah, I think the year's journey for me started out, man, when, you know, as with anything, you kind of start, you complete your roster from the end of the year, and then you start your roster. And going into the summer, I really felt like we had a team that could really compete at a level that would give us a chance to win. And not just win, it went in a way that I thought, you know, could be historic here at Howard. So that was the push, man. It was like, can we, you know, the vision that I have in my head, can we replicate that in reality? And certainly, you know, having 9 or 11 new guys on the team, bringing back several guys that hadn't played last year because of season-ending injuries and trying to build that chemistry took a little bit, you know. And obviously we didn't have Cedric Taylor III for our first 11 games because he broke his hand right before our first game. So it was, you know, at that point in time, you're like, oh, you know, can I, is the dream actually something that can come to fruition? So, you know, it's just one of those things where you're trying to build what you can see. And, you know, it took some time, but I think once it clicked and connected, we were able to really gain some momentum and play lights out basketball.
No doubt. You got high at the right time. Everything comes together because, you know, at your level, it all depends on what happens at that scope, man, and getting prepared not to peak too soon. We saw so many teams that was hot early kind of peak too soon. So, but your team kept getting better and better and better. Talk about your practice plans and how you try to make sure that they would peak at that right time in March there.
Well, it was different, boss man, because we had traditionally we've played 10, 11 guys, you know, per game. And with this year's roster, you know, we limited the amount of bodies that we use per game. And it was more an 8 to 9 man rotation. So we're playing 32 minutes of games with guys that are playing heavy minutes and have to count on those guys, you know, absolutely in a big way, especially our conference season that goes Saturday and Monday. So the recovery time and how we kind of tried to maintain their bodies almost in a way like NBA teams do, guys, was really important. And thankfully, you know, I have an incredible staff that understands, you know, the things that we needed to do and helped me a whole lot with just making sure that those guys were fresh, ready to go. We talk about having fresh legs and fresh minds for our game. So we definitely had to look at practice a different way and not practice as much or as hard as we have in the past.
No doubt, man, because you're right, because like, today we travel today. We have no practice today because we're traveling, so we don't practice when we travel. So you're right, having to manage those bodies and try to get the most out of whatever you do. Now, that's the main thing, and using film sessions, using one-on-one with coaches for development to kind of get guys to correct things in that sense rather than to get on the court. Because you get somebody hurt, it's your level, you're screwed.
Absolutely. And the part that you just said was this was the first time when we got Cedric Taylor III back in December. It was the first time, boss man, that we've been healthy since November of 2023, that we had everybody on our team completely healthy. So having a roster that we can gain some continuity with, some confidence with, and they can build and grow with was so important for us this year.
No doubt, man. And you know, KB, for you, man, seeing your guys kind of be process-oriented, not so much results at first, right? Trusting that process. And talk about getting young men to realize, hey, if we keep doing the right things, being everyday guys, the results will come. Because sometimes we want to see the result of things, but we're doing the right thing. Sometimes it's make or miss here and there. Things happen in the game. But if our process is correct, eventually the breakthrough will come.
Yeah, the process is so important. And with our process, the word trust is the epitome of that process and the journey, right? With us, the way we play, you really have to depend on your brother and you have to trust your brother and your brother has to trust you ultimately. And being efficient for us is more important than the volume that somebody may take. You can get 25, but are you getting 25 on 20 shots? Where if you kind of are looking at it from an efficient lens, you can get 25 on 12 shots, but you can get to the line 8-9 times and you can have 6 or 7 rebounds and you can have 4 or 5 assists. The well-roundedness of young men's games are so much more important to me than the volume that some people think they must have to have success, you know, and be, you know, position themselves for individual success rather than team success.
And KB, also, man, role definition, man, that's so important with young men and accepting their roles, knowing if you're on scout team, if you can get on a bike that day, knowing you're a manager, knowing you're the head. So talk about just people knowing that every role they play, this organization of Howard men's basketball was important in what you all accomplished this year and accepting that role fully.
It's incredible. I think, boss man, one of the things we talk about even before we get kids on campus is that our program may not be for them. Because our program is not for everybody. And I want to make that clear. Like, I don't want to mix words. I don't want to, you know, have any confusion on what we expect from our young men in our program. And I think going into it, you know, the young people that we have a chance to recruit either in high school or out of the portal, you know, because we've had some opportunity to get great media coverage, podcasts like yourself and other different media outlets, The word is getting out a little bit more about what we do, about how we practice, about the things we do in the community, about the things that are important to us on campus, and the things with our culture in a basketball sense that are truly, truly important for us to have success. So I think having those conversations, the value that we've had of getting our message out through the media has really changed the narrative and the perspective of student athletes entering our program.
No doubt. And KB, Kerry Davis has been very important. I've had him on the show a few times as well in the past. About how important he is and having alignment with his deputy athletic directors, all the people in the athletic department, having that key alignment with Wayne Frederick, who came back on an interim basis here, to give you what you need to succeed in the MEAC and get these guys to really achieve their dreams and be the dream factory that you tell them that it is.
Yeah, it's been so important. You know, our leadership starting with Dr. Wayne Frederick, our president, that we're so fortunate and lucky to have back. We talked about Mr. Kerry Davis and his leadership as our athletic director. You know, you couldn't have two better leaders in place with your president and your AD and their alignment for what the student experience for an athlete should look like and the student well-being for an athlete should look like. And, you know, the reason I got the job is, and being a guy with non-traditional resume kind of journey, was that we were all aligned in this, the way we looked at intercollegiate athletics and for a student athlete and the student experience. So having those guys on our team, you know, Paul Bowden does a really great job. Siobhan Mansfield, we have Nick Latham, all of those guys and people in our team are incredibly tied in and aligned for the success of athletics and not just basketball at Howard. You know, when you look at this fall, we had swim team win the championship. We had, you know, track and field won the championship. We had men's and women's basketball. Like, it's, I joke all the time, and I started to call Howard the House of Champions. There was a boxing gym on Georgia Avenue up the street from Howard that was called the House of Champions, and it was all the legendary DC boxers where they trained, and it's not in existence anymore, but I've stole that moniker, and I've attached it to our athletic programs at Howard.
No doubt, man. Like, you all definitely getting it done, man. And this year's race in the MEAC, man, was very competitive because with so less teams, you play as many games. So you have to figure out games around the MEAC schedule. Look about how competitive it was at the top there to get to the scope, man. And really, through 3 days, get it done up there up in Norfolk, man.
Yeah, it was what a competitive league. And I've been saying all along, unfortunately, we don't get the credit that I think our league deserves. We play, an incredibly hard non-conference schedule. And, reasons are we have to fund a lot of the different sports activities and even some student activities in terms of student scholarships or things that are going on campus for our universities that we represent. So a lot of our schools are playing all the blue bloods and, taking trips and playing, 11 games in 20 days and, making it incredibly hard for them to come out of the non-conference with, a 500 or a plus 500 record. But once conference play starts, all of those things kind of go out of the window because, we have really good coaches. I mean, you look at Lavelle Moten, you look at Kevin Brodish, you look at Rob Jones, you look at Stan Waterman. Stan was a coach for USA Basketball for a number of years. Like, you go down the list, Larry Stewart played in the NBA. Eric Martin down in South Carolina in his years of being an incredible player at Cincinnati, but also working with Bobby Huggins in a number of different places. Our league is really blessed to have some incredible coaches. And hell, going into the last game, boss man, we could have finished anywhere from first and probably all as low as third going into our last game. So it was a competitive race. And, fortunately, we were able to pull it out at the end.
It can't be like what's really sad is that people just look down on it because it's the MEAC, not realizing the talent's there and the coaching's there. Like, there are great coaches in HBCU conferences. It just is. And I feel like it's a stigma, and it shouldn't be. Like, these guys are coaching their tails off. Show us some more respect.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you. I mean, when you look at our non-conference, we played four CAA schools, and we scrimmaged a fifth one, and we went 5-0 against the CAA, four in, you know, non-conference games and one in the scrimmage, and nobody talks about that. And that league, I think, is one of the top probably, you know, 13, 14 leagues in the country. You know, so it, even, you know, the fact that people don't do their homework, boss man, when they are trying to have conversations about our league, is a definite, I think, you know, slap in the face to our league and our coaches and our players that, one, they don't give our league enough credit, and two, they don't do the homework to understand what have these teams done throughout the year. You know, looking at our numbers, our net numbers, especially defensively, we were the number one defensive team in the country, I think, either behind Duke or Gonzaga, or we might have been number one for, like, conference defensive numbers. You know, what our team did against our conference versus what other teams have done against their conference. I want to say, boss man, we were like a plus 19 versus our conference this year, with the winning margin and different things that we've done. Like, our defensive numbers were historic within the structure of our conference. And, you know, I haven't heard anybody dig into those numbers or take a look at the net or take a look at what we were able to do. At one point in time, our average margin of victory was like 26 points against teams in our conference. So, you know, I do think that, you know, we have a great league. I do think we have great players, and I do think we have some really talented and unbelievable coaches, but also men that lead those teams.
No doubt, man. And then how beautiful was it? I know you've been to the play-in, the first four previously in Dayton, and not got the job done, but how beautiful was it actually to win in the first four, that first ever game for Howie's double tournament, and then go on to play Michigan?
Yeah, it was, you know, I was so much more happy, boss man, for our players, our alums, the Howard community, Washington, D.C., and anybody that understands HBCUs and the Black culture, right? It means a lot, but it also means a lot to be able to showcase all of that on that national stage. And for, you know, we talk about the student experience all the time. Part of the reason I want young men to come to Howard is because you're going to have opportunities to be on those kind of platforms and stages. Like, if it's our non-conference games of playing in the Michael B. Jordan game, if it's playing in the NBA All-Star Weekend games, if it's playing in, you know, the Truth and Service game versus Hampton, we rented last year Duke University, Cameron's Indoor Stadium, and played North Carolina A&T. We played in the Brotherhood Run at Duke. We played more non-conference games last year at Duke and more games at Duke than any other program outside of Duke men and women's, you know, basketball. So, to, you know, because I want those young people to really feel great about themselves. I want them to have those memories and to be able to tell those stories. But also, you know, when it's time that the ball stops bouncing for them, I want them to be able to pick up the phone. And because of those showcase games and being on national TV and playing them in venues that are, you know, iconic venues that alums want to get out and visit and go watch, they can pick up the phone at any point in time and call alums and have those conversations with alums that may give them an opportunity to, you know, get a job or position something for them where it really benefits them down the road. So that's the reason why it's so important that we, you know, have a chance to plan that. So, you know, it's all about our kids and our community and the alums in the DC, you know, DMV community as well.
And, you know, you played on MLK against this, my friend Larry Dixon in Morehouse, who won SIAC, you know. So you're not a D2, not a D1 was a hard game. Larry did a hell of a job with those Morehouse guys. He got to do the NCAA tournament in D2.
Absolutely, man. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal person. I've known Larry for such a long time. Larry and I would when we spent time on the road in Georgia, we would find all the little hole in the wall soul food places and go every day. That's how close Larry and I are. And he, you know, no doubt that he was going to do a phenomenal job, but I think that he crushed it this year. And looking forward to seeing what he builds there and the success that he's going to have in the future.
And KB was very beautiful for me because with LD winning, Byron Smith winning, it's Prairie View, you winning, and Nolan winning, all guys that I'm cool with went to the big day. It's beautiful to see all you all have success. So I'm glad Nolan from Tennessee State, building a relationship with him, man. And I know we won't have him that much longer, but we're going to show him while we have him, you know. But seeing Byron, who's been a friend for years, and, you know, LD, man, you, man, it's so beautiful to see you brothers, you know, achieve this for your teams, man, and get that national spotlight for sure.
No, it's boss man, it's been you know, watching all the other programs have success and how they played and how they represented their universities and the young men that represented those universities was so cool to see. And on those stages too, man, it was just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to highlight Black culture, HBCUs, and the young men and women that are part of that culture.
No doubt. That's what I got for you, bro. So now with that season is, man, you're taking a little bit of a break to decompress, or you're right back to recruiting in the portal, man, in a few days.
It never ends. You know, just for perspective of my calendar year, and I think other coaches may have a different view of how their calendar works, but my calendar, like my year ends probably around August 1st, 2nd, or 3rd, and we start up from right around August 24th, 25th. So we'll go from August 24th, 25th to where the guys get into town and start school, boss man, to, you know, what we have to do preseason-wise, starting our, you know, season games and stuff in November. Conference season starts in January. Hopefully you're playing in March and got your conference tournament and March Madness in March. You're playing until you don't play anymore. And then you have your exit meetings and you find out, you know, who's staying and who's going. And once you understand that, like for me, that's when our recruiting kind of begins. So we start our recruiting with what we have to have needs for with our program, which is so important. And, you know, then we go into kind of like the spring evaluation period for high school kids, maybe some kids that are that have gotten overlooked, that are quality student athletes that are at some community colleges. And then our summer recruiting starts. So that part goes on too. And then we have our summer camps and summer school for our guys. So all of that runs basically until August 1st, August 2nd, August 3rd. So, you know, it goes for me, you know, pretty much about 11 and a half months without taking a break.
I hear that, my brother. I thank you for finding some time for me today, man, and doing your thing, brother. Hey, I'm so happy for you. So proud of you, brother. Keep doing your thing, man. You know how a second home for me. I cheer for you like I cheer for my alma mater, so it's all good.
Absolutely. No, thank you, boss man. I love the work you're doing, and please give my best to all the Hawks, Quinn, Mike Bray, Tony Lane, Jesse Isler, Grant Hill, and the whole crew, man.
I sure will, my brother.
Appreciate you, bro.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku. As well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jarrell the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your Radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.